They say when a baby is born, so is a mother. But while you are there to help your baby grow into the person he or she is meant to be, who is there to help you? Many women feel lost and alone when they become mothers, wondering, who am I now? Sometimes it feels like the transformation from woman to mother is as radical as a caterpillar's transformation into a butterfly. Did you know that inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar literally turns into goop before it rearranges itself into a butterfly? This podcast is about the goop, what soul transformation looks like as you transition from being a woman to a mom. Your baby's growth matters, but yours does too. You're not alone. I'm your host, Brittany Ming. Welcome to the Motherhood Metamorphosis.
Welcome everyone to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. I'm your host, Brittany Ming, and today we are talking to Nellie Hardin. Nellie is a family and life leadership coach who focuses on helping parents eliminate power struggles with their daughters and help them grow into confident, wise, respectful young women that are actually ready for the world. She is a wife and mom to four daughters, author, speaker, and podcaster, homeschooling parent, and adventure chaser. She has a degree in biology and psychology and a diverse background from humpback whales in the South Pacific to teens and parents in homes across the world. She believes in a life of intention and making dreams and goals realities. Well, welcome, Nellie. I'm really happy that you're on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah. So when we were talking about what to discuss on the podcast, you had said that you have part of your motherhood story is about infertility. And this topic affects so many women today who are struggling to make their dreams a reality, the dream of having a child. So I know that this is going to be close to a lot of women's hearts, whether they have a child in their arms right now or they're waiting for a baby. So I wonder if you could tell us your story and why this is close to your heart.
Goodness. So I have four kids now, four daughters who are 12, 14, 14, and 16. So we ended up having four children in 4.5 years. And when we talk about our infertility struggles that we had, people look at us a little cross-eyed and almost dismiss it, right? Because they're like, oh, well, you have, you know, four kids now. So it wasn't that bad because now you have this. But during that time, it was really hard, and it was hard on me personally. It was hard on my husband. It was hard on our marriage. And we kept it to ourselves. We did not tell anyone else outside of us. So we didn't have a support system outside of the two of us. But going back then, we were a young couple. We met when we were 18 and 19. We got married when we were 22, 23. And then after a couple of years, and I had, as you mentioned, like I used to work in the wild, and I would work in behavior for animals that were in captivity and things like that. So it was a very demanding schedule, but I came out of that and we started getting a little bit more of a, you know, quote unquote, normal schedule. And we really wanted to have kids. The goal for us was to have all of our kids by 30, and it was always have three, adopt two. And that was just the plan. As we all know, those beautiful plans that we have when we're 20, you know, always are they don't go as planned. But anyway, we're like, okay, so we want to have all of our kids by 30 because we really wanted to have a very lively family experience and also have a lot of time even after they've left home to have our own adventures and things like that, and adventures with our kids and grandkids, etc. So we started trying, and like everyone else, I just was like, oh, I'll go off of, you know, birth control. And this was probably, I guess it was about 2 years into our marriage. And I was like, I'll go off birth control and then I'm going to have a baby. Right. That's how things happen. And it just didn't happen. And what was happening for me personally is that I just was not ovulating. My cycles were like 90, 95, 110 days apart. And I'm like, how am I supposed to nail down like 2 days during 110 days that, you know, this can actually happen? So we started seeing some doctors, and then I started getting the shots and started getting the progesterone. And then I started getting procedures where they were, blasting open my fallopian tubes, which was not painful. You know, and thankfully when I was in that procedure, I had the nurse that was with me as I was on the x-ray table, and she looked at me and she's like, honey, I've had this done before. And I'm going to tell you, it's not comfortable. And this is going to hurt a little bit. So I'm going to hold your hand and you just squeeze as hard as you want. And I was like, okay. And so thankfully it wasn't just one of those nurses or doctors that's there that tell you the infamous quote of, this is just going to, you know, you're going to feel a little bit of pressure, right? No, she was like real. And she's like, no, this is not comfortable. And this is going to hurt. I was like, okay. So did that. And they're like, you're going to have an increased fertility for 3 months. And I was like, great. And then 3 months come and go and nothing. And there was a point that we had, because when you're deep into it like that, you're getting all the blood work all the time, right? And so I was getting my HSGs back and they were doing the double and then the triple. I was like, oh yeah. And then, you know, I started. So we did have an early loss pregnancy during that time, which was devastating, especially, I mean, that was over a year into this process. And so we had an early loss pregnancy and we were on the medications. And back then this one medication, they said you can take it for 6 months, but after 6 months, you can't take it anymore. And so we went through, we did it and nothing. And so we said, okay, we're just going to take some time off because it was so mentally and emotionally draining to be taking all the tests and having, you know, scheduled time with your husband and it, you know, just all of the magic is taken out in that way. And so I was done being poked and prodded for a while. I was done having it be my sole focus. I was done being so mad at every pregnant woman I saw. Mm. And even though I love pregnant, you know, I think pregnancy is one of the most beautiful things. Pregnant women are one of the most beautiful things that you could ever see. But I was so angry whenever I saw someone, because I'm like, how hard did they have to try? How hard did they have to try? Right. And then people at work were getting pregnant and I was finding myself having like inner animosity toward them. And I was like, this isn't cool. They're a good person. Why are you mad at them? And I'm like, well, I know why I'm mad at them, you know, and all the things. But so we decided to stop. We needed to not have it be the focus of our lives for a while. And like I said, we didn't tell anybody, mostly because, I mean, I believe in having a support system wholeheartedly, but it was already the focus of my life. And I didn't want every time I got on the phone with my mom or every time I saw my sister or every time we saw a friend to be like, so how's it going? Right. I was internally asking myself those questions already every second of every day. I did not need anyone else asking me those questions either. And having that pressure of, well, why do you think it hasn't happened yet? And I would probably just be like, well, I don't know. Like if I knew, I would tell you, you know? So we did keep it to ourselves, which was a really heavy burden to carry because we were getting all the questions like, well, you're married, you just bought your first house, you both have steady jobs, like what's happening, right? And we'd be like, oh, well, we're just waiting, you know, a while. And where internally I was like, actually, I just had an appointment yesterday, which was our 13 month in a row, you know, all these things. So anyway, we decided to take a break because we just couldn't have it be the focus anymore. And it was our first month on that break that I did get pregnant. And that was our story with our first child. I got pregnant, the pregnancy stuck. Those levels were going up and up and up and up. And so, I had a great pregnancy and it was wonderful. And I loved being pregnant. And I loved being pregnant. I, you know, just because I was pregnant, but I loved being pregnant so much more because we had worked so freaking hard at it to get there, you know? And I was like, every kick was like a yes, that hurt, but yes, you know, and it was awesome. And we had our first child, who's now 16 and a little girl, and, it was great and breastfed for a year. And I noticed, I was like, well, sometimes, you know, people say that, you know, your period can start to come back after a little while. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, you know, I breastfed for a year. And, but I was a super producer, unbeknownst to me that that was even a thing, but I was a super producer with my milk and I ended up donating and all these things. And I was like, well, maybe because of that, I haven't started again. But that wasn't the case. And so we knew we wanted more kids. And so after, it was probably about 6 months after I had stopped breastfeeding and still hadn't started anything. And since we had that history of me not ovulating, the doctors were like, okay, let's go ahead and start this procedure, you know, this medication regimen and everything now. And so we did. And I want to say it was maybe month 4 out of the 6 that we were allowed to have that I got pregnant. And got pregnant. This time it's twins. And so I had 2 little girls. So yeah, we, and again, great pregnancy, twin pregnancy, totally different than singleton pregnancy, which I'm sure a triplet pregnancy is so much different than a twin pregnancy, et cetera. But it was great. Took them, everybody was full term. My body, it was interesting because my body was having trouble ovulating. It was also having trouble letting go of kids. And so my first kid needed to be induced and I was able to deliver naturally, but my second and third daughters, I had to be induced too, but they were both flipped. So I had to do a cesarean for them, for the twins. But then I was like, okay, now we had 3, but I was like, I feel like, because the plan was to have 3, adopt 2. And so I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to have a third pregnancy. Like I'm supposed to go through this process 3 times, but we already have 3 kids and I'm just one of those weirdos that likes being pregnant. So we didn't go through the process again, but we said, if it happens, it happens. And it happened. So, and so with our third pregnancy, our fourth child, we didn't go through anything. My body just kicked into gear. And I've heard that before, that if you have had issues with infertility and then you go through a pregnancy, or as you get older, which how unfair is that, right? Like, oh, your body is really messed up when you're in your, you know, 20s and doesn't know how to ovulate, but wait till your 30s and 40s. And then it got, you know, it has a down pat. And I'm like, well, I don't want, you know, babies in my 30s and 40s. So, but anyway, so we ended up having 4 children, 3 pregnancies, another little girl, the girls just kept coming. And I ended up having her. She was born just 3 days after my 31st birthday. So we didn't quite hit the mark, but you know, it was good and close enough. And we ended up having 4 little girls within 4.5 years. They're almost exactly 4.5 years apart, oldest to youngest. So that was really our story. But I remember, and I feel that, and I have friends now that are going through infertility. I have a friend who just gave birth to their son after 8 years of infertility. And my goodness, she was like, I'm so tired and I'm exhausted and I love every second of it. You know, you just being able to be so thankful because you went through so much and prayed so hard and thought about this all the time. And you were finally able to experience that. That's the flip side. That's the other side of the coin of the really hard stuff, is the full on gratitude stuff that you can feel too, when and if it finally does happen. And if it doesn't, I know plenty of people that have been able to, you know, go the adoption route or IVF or other things too, but it's not easy. It's not easy. And I love to talk to women that are going through it and just let them know it'll be okay. And everything you're feeling is normal. Even if you're super mad at me because I have 4 kids right now, I totally get it. And I understand that.
So yeah. When you were talking about how you were, before you ever had your first daughter and you were upset with your coworkers or other pregnant people or whatever, like that's a real thing. And
oh yeah.
Yeah. That's legit. And I think sometimes people are afraid to say like, I cannot go to that baby shower, or I cannot see my sister-in-law, or because she's pregnant, or I cannot hang out with this group of friends. And that really can like mess up your social life and yeah. your work life. And like, it's this whole other emotional layer to pregnancy. For me, that came after I had a miscarriage and I had a really hard time seeing women who were pregnant, or I was obsessed with like, how pregnant are you? Because I was like, this is how big I would have been if I was still pregnant right now.
Yeah.
And so I remember asking like very personal questions to some poor woman at the library of like, how many weeks are you like right now? Like, you're not just 4 months. Like, are you 16 and a half weeks? Like, and so, and I'm like, okay, you need to like simmer down a little bit. But like, that was me like trying to, you know, work through my own trauma of what is it like to grieve in such a way after a loss. And for you, you were grieving a loss of a dream. Like, what this dream of a family plan that you had as a couple. And I don't think anybody goes into marriage thinking, I think we're really going to experience infertility. So like, let's just gear up for that. Like nobody does that. It's always, you think we're going to do it, you know, on our vacation and come back home and we're going to have the wonderful like pregnancy announcement with each other and then tell our family members. Like that's the dream of easy conception. And I don't think anybody says, I think it's going to be full of like shots and fallopian tube surgeries and, you know, Clomid and all the other drugs that you pump into your system. I think that's a tough, tough journey of transition from the dream that was to the reality that is, as far as your motherhood journey goes.
Are you going through the unexpected right now, this very moment? I've been there too. In my book, Unexpected, Learning to Love Your Unpredictable Story, I delve into many of the unexpected circumstances of my life. An unexpected twin pregnancy, autism ADHD diagnosis for my sons, a devastating miscarriage, the loss of my career, dealing with depression and anxiety, being a military wife, and so much more. My book is faith-based, so it may not speak to you in your personal journey. However, I strive to be inclusive and encouraging and not preachy, and women who don't have a personal faith tradition have told me that it has encouraged them. My hope and prayer is that as you are going through this unexpected season, my story will encourage you and provide comfort and support as you bravely walk this unfamiliar path. You can find Unexpected, Learning to Love Your Unpredictable Story on Amazon in print, Kindle, and audiobook format, because if you're a busy mom like me, audiobooks may be the only way you're reading these days.
So you talked about this intense gratitude you felt in having your kids, and your friend also who said, I'm so tired, but I'm so grateful. How else do you think that your infertility story has shaped you as a woman? Maybe both in the tough parts like anxiety and, you know, going into the mental spaces that are, you know, has shaped your mind, but also the way that you view life or view your own family relationships.
One word comes to mind, and that's resilience, for sure. Because with that, as a woman, and it is our body that is going through this, and it is our heart and mind that's going through this, when you're stressed, you don't work as well. Like functionally, you don't work as well. So you have to be able to say, I am so devastated. I am so sad right now. I'm so frustrated. Yet I am going to try and stay very calm. I need to keep my cortisol levels down. I need to be able to get through this and, you know, keep a calm, as calm as possible without any of the big spikes, you know, the big emotional spikes. I need to be able to stay calm for this possible maybe future child that isn't even, you know, a thought yet, but 2 weeks, you know, 4 weeks, 4 months before this possible conception, I am already being a mother to that child by having the calm mental state that I am right now. And the fact that that child may not ever actually come and be in your hands, yet you are already being a mother to a possible future child of yours, that is resilience right there. And it takes every ounce of strength that you could have mentally, emotionally, and I would say spiritually, but we weren't even in a spirit, like we didn't have any faith or anything in our walk back then. And so it really just was mental and emotional tug of war within yourself all the time. Be how I really feel and go down that dark spiral, or I'm going to choose to stay here in this level playing field and not have the, you know, the big highs and big lows, because I know that's not good for my body. And if my body's not good, my body won't function the way that it possibly could. So I would definitely say resilience, mindset work. You know, I've been in the work that I do in helping prepare. And that's part of the story too. You know, and the work that I do right now is for parents that have daughters that are between 9 and 18, in order to build up that confidence and that respect and that wisdom to prepare them for adulthood. Right. And part of that in the curriculum that I do is resilience work, because if I would have had better resilience going into this entire ordeal, like you said, no one goes into, you know, marriage thinking, all right, let's like do all of our, you know, check boxes. And we, you know, one of our kids might be super sick. You might get super sick. We might have for infertility, right? That's just under this entire umbrella of, I will love you through everything and you will love me through everything. But when you get down to the nitty gritty of what that everything is, there's some real big roadblocks, obstacles, and challenges there that you need to get through. It's not just rainbows and butterflies. And so, having that resilience going in, especially for young women, that is so imperative in order to help you have that mindset of, okay, so my thoughts are all here. Which thoughts am I actually going to take and spend time on and think about? Which of those am I actually going to take and make a decision about? And then what action am I going to have as a result of those? So that mindset work and creating that resilience, you know, wheel, if you will, is so important. And I wish I would have been a little bit more prepared back then, but I just didn't know what I didn't know. But yeah, it's that part of our lives really. And for our marriage, I mean, going through infertility, that is a strain, a big strain on a marriage, and especially a new marriage, and a young marriage, but it made us stronger. We didn't like it and it was awful, but it did make us stronger.
So as I'm hearing you talk about resilience and change, like choosing your mindset and making decisions along that mindset, as you are parenting your daughters and raising them up, how do you teach them both this mindset of choosing and also like honoring the emotions that they're feeling at the same time? Because sometimes that can feel like a tension of saying, okay, I can choose to say, I'm going to walk in this path, but I'm feeling a lot of grief. Like, how do we honor our hearts and our minds in integration through our journeys where we're going through something really tough, like infertility? Yeah,
I would just say curiosity. I mean, so we do have a bunch of thoughts, you know, coming into our head from every direction. They're from internal, they're from the external world, you know, coming in. And we can really choose what we want to take from there. Now, you're not going to just be able, like, going through infertility, you're not going to be able to say and shut off your emotions and say, I am not sad. I am happy. I am so glad, right? If something is consuming you and you feel that consumption, you feel that cloud around you that you're kind of being enveloped by, take that and be curious about it. Exactly what am I feeling? Exactly why am I feeling this way? When am I feeling this way? Is there trends in this? And journal. I mean, really, journaling is so, so important and just cathartic, because when you're going through something traumatic in any way, right, it can feel like this cloud that's around you. It's pressuring you from every single side and angle, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, everything. It's compressing you. But when you can take it out from between your ears and put it onto paper, it actually gives it form. It gives it defined edges. It gives it something that you can see, and you can choose better when it's on paper, more like choose what you're going to do with that information more when it's on paper, more than when it's in this cloudy, fuzzy thing in your head, right? It legitimizes it. It makes it real, and it makes it very defined. So you can say, okay, you know, whatever day this is, I am feeling really sad today. This is why. This is what happened. This is what I'm going to do about it, right? And so that really takes how you're feeling, because if something is consuming you, you're not going to be able to just chuck it away, right? And when I choose our feelings, it's not just choosing the happy-go-lucky feelings. It is choosing whatever needs to be curious, right? Whatever you need to be curious about or whatever you want to grow. But there's a lot of feelings, or I mean, a lot of thoughts that we just can chuck out the window because they're coming from the outside world too.
Right. Or they're not true. Like, right. I'm, you know, a bad person because I can't conceive. Like that's, yes, that's not true. Or my body is failing me, or I am failing as a woman because I'm not able to have a child. Like women are fully women, whether or not they're able to conceive a child, whether it's their first child or their second child or whatever, because infertility can come in so many different forms. For you, it came, yes, before you had your first child. I know for other women that I've known, it's come like in secondary infertility where they've longed to have this second child and they've never been able to conceive, or there's been huge gaps, 5-10 years in between,
yeah,
their children. So I think that people's journeys can come in all different shapes and forms, and dicing out where the truth is and where those lies are and getting curious, like you said, about that, I think can be so important to honoring our mental health and like choosing paths of wholeness in that journey. I don't have an infertility story, and I'm so happy to hear yours. My story is one, I have 5 kids. I also have twins. So I like hearing, yes, the twin pregnancy is very different than the single twin pregnancy.
Yes.
But I know that for me, we didn't have any trouble conceiving. We always joke that we've spent our whole marriage trying not to get pregnant. And I know that's a joke that I can make, but I know for other people like that can rub the wrong way, because that is something that they've had. That's been the biggest struggle of their life, is trying to have a baby. And I know that my growth as a friend and as somebody who cares about women has been to say, let me grow my own understanding of what your journey is, because the way that women can support women is saying, hey, my story is not the same as yours, and I want to hear what your story is. It's not about me saying as a mom of 5, oh, just relax, or like, have you thought about tracking your cycle? I mean, like stupid stuff that I'm sure that these women who are struggling are already doing. It's right, like holding space for that friend who is on a different path and different journey that I've been on, but that you have been on, or that other women have journeyed on. So I think that for me, I am so glad you came on to talk about this, because it is the journey of so many women out there.
It really is. And it's not talked about as much. It's rare that you'll find somebody, there's someone I know, back in one of our hometown that, they're going through it, and they're being very, very public about it, which, and they've had some failed attempts, they're going through IVF, and that would be so hard for me. And that would not have been my route to go, but I'm so proud of them for being brave and having that. And they're doing it because so many people go through it in silence, that they wanted to be a voice to show other people are going through this too. I mean, go them. I just know my emotional stability could not have handled the comments on social and all of that. So just, you know, knowing yourself too, there is no shoulds in infertility. So what, it is such a personal journey that you go through with you and your spouse, that whatever is right for you, because especially if you're the one that's trying to conceive and have the baby, your body, your mental state, your emotions need to be able to stay as baseline as possible, as joyous as possible, which can be really challenging. So don't add more challenges on there with trying to follow anyone's, you know, shoulds and shouldn'ts.
Yeah, that's so important, because I think there's a lot of pressure, especially in social media, to do things a right way, quote unquote. Sure. And whatever feels safe to you, whatever feels comfortable to you, whether it's sharing a lot or like not sharing at all, like that's the path you need to walk in. And don't add extra guilt to your life if their journey is their journey and your journey is your journey. Like, yeah. So if you were to tell a woman who's saying, I don't feel comfortable even sharing with my family and friends what my infertility journey is like, but I want to find safe spaces to feel connected, like what advice could you give to her?
Well, today, fortunately, there is a lot of online places that you can go, a lot of support areas that you can go where in Facebook groups and things like that, you will still run into, you know, Sally should girl, you know, type of thing. Sometimes I was trying to Shelly should, maybe that should be your name. I don't know. No offense to any Shelleys that are listening. But anyway, you'll still run into that some, but knowing that you will, and just having some good mental, boundaries that are up for that. Or therapy is always a great option. And being able to really talk about it with your spouse, I think is so important. And honestly, I'll be 100% honest. You know, my husband and I have been together for 20 plus years now. Back in our first decade, or, you know, half decade or so, when we were going through this, we did not have the communication skills that we have today. So I could tell him I was mad, and I could tell him I was frustrated, but I couldn't really tell him why. And I didn't want to get into the weeds with him. And I just wasn't comfortable sharing my own emotions yet. I was young and I had other stuff going on in my life and what have you. But if I would have known then what I know now about what a concrete, you know, foundation of having a healthy communication with your spouse, the benefits of that, I would have gone back and, you know, if I could go back and tell Nellie of, you know, circa 2003, 2005-ish, you know, if I could tell her, you know, just be open with him and let him know everything that you're feeling and why. And if it sounds like word vomit coming out, it's okay, right? Just get it all out and you'll feel better.
Yeah. That's so true. Our feelings, a lot of times we think we can be in control of them if we hold them in, but they're controlling us. Like when they get them out of your system, you just feel lighter. You're like, I'm not holding all that stuff in anymore. Like it's out in the open, and then we can deal with it. Just like writing things down in the journal for yourself gives it that concrete feeling of, and now I have a little more autonomy over this swirl that was once going on inside of me.
Right. So, it's kind of like, you know, food poisoning. It's emotion poisoning.
Yeah, that's great.
You feel better once it's out.
That's right. That's good. Well, this was such a great conversation. And I really hope that anyone listening today can feel validated, can maybe hear a little bit of their own story in it, or maybe a friend's story of like, hey, I didn't know what you were going through, and now I understand a bit more, and I can be more empathetic or understanding, or give you space. I understand the need for space in this relationship I have with a friend or a sister, whoever it may be, who may be struggling with infertility. So to end up our time, I love to ask these rapid fire questions that are just for fun. So are you ready?
I think so.
All right. They're all just for fun, so don't worry.
Okay. Wrong answers, right?
Yeah. This will be great for you with a mom of four daughters. Which Disney princess would you want to take out for coffee?
Oh, Ariel, hands down.
Nice. She's a lot of fun. Yeah. What's one thing you must have on your nightstand?
Oh, my water. I am a huge drinker of water.
Of water. I like how you had that water again. Your go-to treat after the kids go to bed.
This is going to sound stupid, but I love graham crackers. I love graham crackers. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. You got to have that little, it's got a little sweetness. It's got a little crunch.
Exactly.
It's a good snack. Yeah. An ordinary moment that brings you great joy.
Oh, every Sunday we go out to lunch as a family, and those Sundays are just family days. And it's just anytime all six of us are together, because we're getting to that point, we got 16, 14, 14, 12 now. And I'm like, these are fleeting, taking it all in.
Yeah, that's special. The last show you binged and loved.
Gosh, we watched shows with the kids. I really love Chuck. That show from a while ago. I love Chuck. Yeah. We're, the kids are watching Heart of Dixie right now. So we're getting back into that. So
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Anything that is filmed in a small town is pretty much got me hooked. And funny enough, we moved to a place that most of those are actually filmed in. And so, including Heart of Dixie. So yeah, I fell in love with them so hard. I moved to one.
You're like, yes, I need to move to that movie set.
Yes, that's it. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. I love that you said you're watching those with your kids. I think a lot of times we think, okay, I've got my adult show and I got my kids show. But when you get to have teenagers, you have those moments together. I've been watching Cobra Kai with teen boys, and that's been really great. That's like my connecting moment with them during the day. It's like, okay, we'll watch an episode or two, and they're only 30 minutes, but it's been really good. I like that.
Yep. We went through all the way through that. That's a good one too.
Yeah. If you run out of this besides milk, you have to go to the store.
Tomatoes, hands down.
Tomatoes. For salads or salsas or what do you?
Literally anything I put tomatoes on everything.
Gotta have tomatoes.
Yes.
Who makes you laugh?
My husband and I, and my kids, I don't know, the six of us, we laugh a lot. Yeah.
When you were 5 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Marine biologist.
And you did. That's great.
And I did.
That's really special. What are you looking forward to?
I am writing my first book right now. I've written for magazines and publications for a long time. So writing my first book right now. So I'm just really excited to have a book out there.
That's really exciting. I wish you the best of luck on that. That's great.
Oh, thank you.
Finish this sentence. That's the last one. Motherhood is...
Well, I'll just go with my first one. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, and not in a bad way and not all in a good way either, but it will form you. So challenge. Motherhood is a challenge.
Yeah, that's good. All right. If you would like to follow Nelly on social media or find her online, you can visit her website at nellyharden.com. She has a resource called the 6570 Family Challenge that you can check out. You can also look into her 5 steps to grow your daughter's self-esteem during the teen and tween years. She also has a podcast at nellyharden.com and her Family Architects Club on Facebook. You can also find her on Instagram at Nelly Harden. You have a lot of social handles, and I hope I will share them all in the show notes so people can find you online.
Wonderful. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks so much, Nelly. I appreciate you being here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and sharing these stories out there.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to this episode today. I hope it encouraged you and gave you some good food for thought. If you're loving this podcast, I love if you could write a review in Apple Podcasts or leave some stars in Spotify. These reviews mean so much to me, and they also help boost the show so new listeners will find the podcast too. I'd also love to have you join us over on our Facebook page. You can find it by searching for the Motherhood Metamorphosis Podcast. Finally, you can dig in deeper into the podcast by becoming a Patreon supporter. For this summer, I'm really excited about the special bonus gift for $5 a month supporters. It's a free Audible download of my book, Unexpected: Learning to Love Your Unpredictable Story. The book is narrated by me, and let me tell you, it was a labor of love, and I may never, ever narrate another audiobook again. But for anyone who has said they like my podcast voice, here you go, a whole book of me podcast voicing. $3 per month patrons will also receive access to a really pretty instant download printable that says, "Be kind to yourself," which I don't know about you, but I need that reminder in my head on the daily. You can find the Patreon account at patreon.com/themotherhoodmetamorphosis. Thank you again for listening and for all your support of this podcast. If you ever have any questions, comments, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please email me at brittanyaming@gmail.com.
You got to make it work. I feel like this is, we just moved from England and we're in Illinois now, but this closet is like the size of one of our bedrooms in England. So I'm like, look at this sweet recording space it's got. So big.